Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson.
Hey.
Get used to it. Well, get used to him.
Well, Goo's in Texas.
Goo's going to be out the next 3 days. No, the next 6 days. Let me see if I can get this right.
So he would have missed game 6 and 7 of the finals for the Warriors.
Yeah.
That's what he would have missed.
Yes. Okay. And I guess the bottom line is you'll be here every day but one between now and next Friday.
Get used to it.
Next Thursday, Goo and I, and why Goo decided to come back on a Thursday is beyond me, but and who knows if he will.
Yeah, TBD. TBD.
But, I'm not God! But we'll see. June Lee coming up in 10 minutes, contributing writer at Yahoo Sports. He's also written for ESPN, the New York Times, Bleacher Report, and he had a heck of a story on some of the dysfunction in Boston that preceded the Devers trade to the Giants. He's joining us at noon, and then at 12:55, hopefully we can get John Smoltz in here, former starter and reliever.
Well, you do know the thing about Smoltz that's one of the most unique aspects of, I mean, really.
You want a Cy Young as both?
No.
Okay.
But he went from being a starter to being a closer.
Yeah.
To then being a starter again.
Nobody
else has done that. There's nobody else that has done that.
Let me tell you who could have done it and who would have done it, but just wasn't asked, and that's Dave Righetti. Dave Righetti. Yeah, I know you guys probably haven't heard of him.
I thought you were going to drop a Sparky Lyle on us.
Yeah, Ponston knows baseball, by the way.
I don't think Sparky, well, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if Sparky Lyle started very early in his career. Of course, Sparky Lyle, Cy Young Award winner in
Eckersley
1970.
Well, Eckersley was a starter, then became a closer, but he never went back to starting after. I think Smoltz might have won, he might have won 20 games when he came back.
As a reliever?
No, as a starter.
Anyway, so that's what's going on the rest of the day. So in 10 minutes, we'll have June Lee joining us. Also, let me get you ready for this because this is going to be big. Listen between noon and 12:30, and part of that will be the interview with June Lee. But listen between noon and 12:30. That's coming up in 10 minutes, and then for the following half hour, for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever take on your Golden State Valkyries. That game is tomorrow. And listen between 12 and 12:30. We're going to tell you how to win those tickets. But the first step is you got to be listening. You know, one thing here's the other thing I'm watching last night's game. By the way, they had NBC Sports Bay Area had Buster Posey in the booth for the second inning, and
he's presidential.
You know what? You took the words right out of my mouth. I'm gonna say it. He's got more gravitas than Curry. He does.
You sure about that?
I gave it a lot of thought in the last 24 hours.
Oh, my God.
Like, Curry is less buttoned up than Posey.
Well,
like,
he was wearing a suit.
Well, but I'm saying Buster Posey, how do I want to put this? I bet you Buster Posey goofs around less than Steph Curry. Goofs around.
I can see that.
That's
yeah.
That's all I'm saying. And but man, Posey is just such a class act. Like I said, he was in the booth last night, and never sharing too much, but always answering a question directly.
Now, I also want to ask Jun Lee about this, because here's what I thought watching Posey yesterday, both at the podium before the game and then in the booth with Krug and Kipe. Whatever he has, like the it factor, Craig Breslow must not have that. I'm serious. Like, both of them are ball players. Breslow pitched, I think, 12 years. Obviously a smart guy. But from everything that I've read about him and what he is, how he's operated in that front office in Boston since he's taken over, I think, last year or 2 years ago, he just doesn't have it. Like, Buster Posey does. And it's, I've honestly been kind of shocked, because I knew that he's charismatic and he was, you know, kind of this quiet leader. But I've been surprised at how much he's had to do publicly and how good he's been at it. Like, there's been no step of the way that I've ever felt watching him like he doesn't know what he's doing, even though he literally has no experience doing the job. You know what I mean?
No, I do know what you mean. And you ever see the movie, these guys are too young. What's the movie with Jack Nicholson and Helen Hunt?
Chinatown.
No, where he's got a, Nahegan. Jack Nicholson and Helen Hunt, that movie where he's got a little,
Anger Management.
No, it's called, trust me.
Something's Gotta Give.
That might help me. Nahegan, you know, Helen Hunt. He was, I want to say, it's not A Few Good Men, but it's got something like that. Come on, somebody.
Dude, I'm 30 years old. I know Jack Nicholson is a sideline taking hold of the Lakers.
She was a waitress in a restaurant, and he had, what's it called? Like, As Good As It Gets. As Good As It Gets. Thank you so much. M. Martinez, and here's where I'm going with that, ladies and gentlemen. There's a line in that movie where Jack Nicholson has a crush on Helen Hunt. And he says, "You make me want to be a better man." And you know what? That's what I think about when I think of Buster Posey. Like, if I were to meet Buster Posey, I'd want him to see me at my best. I wouldn't want to be half-cocked. I wouldn't want to be distracted. I'd want to shake his hand. I want to be sober. I want to be coherent. I want to present my best self. Like, he's one of those guys where, I don't know, you just want him to respect you, because he matters. You know, Guru, if he respects me or not, it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
All right.
But Posey is the kind of guy who you kind of want him to like you.
What about
respect
Curry?
Him. And that's
is that the difference?
That is a little bit of the difference, is that
you don't care about Steph.
No, Curry's more he's more regular in a way. I get it. He's great. Like, off the field, he's less businesslike than Posey. I just feel like Posey never changes. Never changes. When he was a player, when he is the GM now, whether you see him in the street, he's subdued, he's classy, he always looks good, he takes care of himself, he's a gentleman, all those kind of things. So he would not scare me a little more than Curry, but I'd be on more of my P's and Q's with Posey than Curry.
Yeah, I didn't know where you're going with the Nicholson thing, but that might be one of your best takes. He strikes me as someone you don't want to disappoint.
Exactly.
Like, it isn't even about walking into the room and him, like, he wouldn't have to notice me, but I just can't do anything that would make me look bad in front of him. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I feel like, well, maybe not everybody, but most people have that kind of person in their family. Like, when so-and-so walks into the room, spine straightened, you know, you all of a sudden know how to set a dinner table, and you're on your best behavior. You know, elbows not on the table, chewing with your mouth closed, because so-and-so, your uncle, your grandfather, maybe it's your grandma, whoever's in the room demands that you be on your best behavior. That's Buster Posey. That's also why I can't believe that Breslow can't be that guy. Like, Craig Breslow has to be, like, I don't know if it's the antithesis. I have a theory, though, and I know we're going to talk to Julie in a moment about this. I do think it has to do something with their positions. Catchers are different because catchers demand respect from literally every person in the clubhouse because they're the only person that has to deal with both the pitching staff and the position players. And, oh, by the way, the coaches rely on them. So they're kind of a conduit to all aspects of the 25-man roster. A reliever, specifically a left-handed reliever, those guys are weirdos, man. Like, those guys are just strange people. They're like the offensive linemen of baseball players. Like, those are the guys that, like, they're really quirky. You know, maybe they got long hair and dumb mustaches and, you know, they don't clip their toenails. Like, they do something weird. And that's the difference. I'm not saying Breslow is one of those guys, but, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's a lefty reliever and Posey's the catcher. He's the captain.
All right. So I'm getting some pushback on this Posey-Curry stuff. So
naturally, is it more about the Nicholson?
Naturally, I'm going to keep it going. You know, here's the other way. Like, when I think of Curry, I think let's say Curry and me hanging out, and you're over there, and I look at Curry, like, look at Evan over there, because Steph, and he's like, yeah, what a piece of work he is. And I'd say, Curry, Steph, let's play a prank on him. Let's prank Evan. Nothing mean spirit. Let's have some fun at his expense. And Curry'd be like, oh yeah, that sounds good. Let's do it, Steiny. But Posey would be like, no, there's no need to do that, Matt. We don't need to prank Evan. Evan's a good guy, and no need to have any fun at his expense. And so let's go in another direction.
I wonder. I feel like,
anybody got a story out there about Posey?
Yeah, like, when was the last time he filled a rookie's car up with popcorn? You know what I mean?
He doesn't do that. He's too classy. Anyway.
He's the grown-up in every room.
I'm a fan of Buster Posey. He's the kind of guy who I wish I could have his demeanor. He doesn't raise his voice. He doesn't have to raise his voice. He just speaks like a grown man. All right, speaking of a grown man, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Let's welcome in June Lee, contributing writer at Yahoo. He's also written for ESPN, the New York Times, Bleacher Report. June, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Of course, I've been referencing your story in Yahoo this week about the Red Sox and some of their dysfunction. For those out here in the Bay that maybe didn't read it, how would you summarize it? And if you had to place blame on what happened in Boston, how much would Devers get? How much would the organization get?
Yeah, so I think it's important to take a step back because there's a lot of context that I think informs this situation. I think that this whole situation actually dates back to 2019 as Mookie Betts was looking to, you know, potentially re-sign with the Boston Red Sox. And I talked to Mookie almost every single day during that season, and he told me that he wanted to stay in Boston. At the same time, you know, there was starting to be leaks out of the media that Mookie and his, like, kind of inner circle were confused about with in regards to, like, whether or not he actually wanted to stay in Boston. He wasn't sure where those leaks were coming from. And so, you know, there was, I think, this kind of gap between how the Red Sox were communicating with, you know, their best homegrown prospect since Ted Williams, even at that time, as he was kind of looking to stay in Boston, albeit, you know, trying to get paid and meet market value, but he wanted to stay in Boston. He ended up getting traded. The second thing that happened is Xander Bogaerts, you know, wanted to be a Red Sox for life, loved playing in Boston. I know he's having troubles out there in San Diego right now. But he wanted to be a Red Sox for his entire career. And he had gotten to a point where the team was kind of jerking around with him so much that they lowballed him with a contract offer in the spring training leading up to, you know, his contract year. And then he had an all-star season and got paid by the San Diego Padres. Xander came up to me a few years later, you know, after he had signed with the Padres, and just vented to me about how frustrated he was about the lack of communication that the team had had with him. And this was a situation that I think breeds off of that kind of company lack of communication culture, where, you know, this isn't even a Craig Breslow thing. This dates back to Dave Dombrowski and Chaim Bloomsdale as the heads of the Red Sox as well, where Rafael Devers is told this entire offseason that he is going to be the third baseman, that the team is not looking to replace him at third base, and that's where he'd be playing on opening day. Reports start to come out that Nolan Arenado and Alex Bregman are also kind of in the mix for the Red Sox. You know, Devers kind of brushes this off. It then turns out the Red Sox signed Alex Bregman on the push from Alex Cora, in part because he wanted to win the season. He wanted to push for more than just a wild card. He wanted to win the division. Devers, as a result, feels slighted by the organization, and he gets very frustrated. So when the team comes to him in spring training and asks him, can you move off third base for Alex Bregman? He's like, I'm a third baseman. And I think that, you know, Devers in particular, you know, didn't really handle the situation particularly well. Like, I think Devers really relied on Xander Bogaerts as kind of this guiding light in the Red Sox clubhouse. And I think once Xander left, Rafi was kind of a little bit more isolated among his teammates, in part because of the language barrier and the cultural barrier that exists with a player like him. And so, you know, he got to a point where I think he was just frustrated with the situation and definitely did not handle things as well as he could have. But, you know, it was kind of emblematic in my eyes of this larger kind of cultural failure from the Red Sox to be able to handle star players.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station in the home of the Warriors and Valkyries.
So, June, yesterday in his introductory press conference, the big headline is Rafael Devers is willing to play anywhere. With all that context you just gave us, were you surprised to hear that?
No, because I think, like, there's been this kind of narrative, I think, that the local media in Boston has pushed out that Rafi's been a bit of a diva. And, you know, again, I don't think that he's handled the situation as well as he could have. At the same time, you know, he's always kind of been this, like, easygoing, quiet, introverted dude. You know, there's almost this media image painted in the Boston media, and even the national media to some degree, that he's been this big diva. You know, I've been talking to his teammates. People haven't really felt like it's been, you know, an actively toxic situation. Has his attitude and his general, like, body language and all that stuff in the clubhouse, has that been great? It hasn't been, but there's other veteran leaders in that clubhouse between, you know, Alex Bregman and Lucas Giolito and Walker Buehler, Rob Refsnyder, who've been through these kinds of things before. And so, you know, it did not surprise me at all the second that he got out of the situation and felt like he was on a team that wanted him, was willing to, you know, be upfront with him. I've seen the press conferences coming out of San Francisco. It seems like people really love the way that Buster Posey communicates, which is not surprising given how great of a catcher he was for such a long time. You know, that position is such a position reliant on communication. It makes sense that Rafi is much happier and is willing to be more flexible for the team. It makes sense given that he feels like he's being respected now.
June Lee joining us on 95.7 The Game. He's a contributing writer for Yahoo Sports. Just wrote a great piece on what's going on in Boston and what happened preceding the Rafael Devers trade to the San Francisco Giants. A lot's made of the ballpark out here, June. Not the most hitter-friendly park, and yet in the wake of the trade, I saw some stories that actually compared Fenway a little bit to Oracle Park. How did Devers use the field at Fenway, and what can Giants fans, how can they expect him to use the park out here?
I think the thing that's awesome about watching Rafi in particular hit is that he is just a good hitter. He's not one of those guys who just swings for the fences. Like, he knows how to hit the ball the opposite way if it's on the outer half of the plate. And that's such a rare skill from a power hitter in the major leagues today with all this kind of stuff with, you know, exit velocity and the you know, slit launch angle and all that other stuff, all the analytics stuff. He's more of a kind of traditional, you know, left-handed hitter where he tries to hit the ball hard regardless of where it is on the plate. And, you know, he's not a guy that, like, really swings at a ton of bad pitches. You know, every hitter has their slumps. But, you know, he's always been a very disciplined hitter. And he's just he's one of those guys that I think reminded me a lot of, you know, even Robinson Cano, David Ortiz, where, you know, he lets the ball travel in and he's able to drive it if it's on the inner half of the plate. He's got the, you know, the bat speed to do that. And he's able to drive the ball the other way. And I think Fenway and Oracle are kind of interesting kind of sister ballparks because of that big wall. You know, it's going to be really interesting to see how Raffy uses that right field wall at Oracle, because the thing that he does better than anyone, I think, on the left side of the plate, you know, is knowing how to drive the ball, you know, whether the ball is up or the ball is down. And so, you know, people have been talking about whether or not this contract is worth it. I think that Raffy is, just as a guy who's putting up 3.5 to 4, even 5 wins above replacement as just a hitter, you know, given how poor his defense has been over the course of the last few years, and he's had his ups and downs there too. Like, I think he's going to be a great fit for that ballpark.
June, one of the big parts of this is obviously the two men that made this deal happen, Buster Posey and Craig Breslow. And the way that your piece, you know, described Breslow, it feels very different from the person that we in the Bay Area have come to know as Buster Posey. Like, you know, I guess, what do you feel like the difference is between those two guys, one that couldn't make it work and now one here in the Bay Area that appears to be willing to do anything to make it work?
I mean, I think that with Breslow in particular, you know, he does that former big league pedigree, but he's also in a spot where there's been complaints from basically all levels of the organization, whether it's the coaching staff, you know, baseball operations, complaints about his ability to just be upfront with people and communicate what is going on. People really feel cut out of the loop there. And from everything I've heard with Buster Posey, he seems to kind of be the complete opposite of that. And I think that they're kind of interesting mirror images of each other in some ways, because we've reached a point in baseball where, you know, I think that there was such a massive swing towards this, like, Ivy League guy who maybe never played baseball. And now we're starting to get a lot of these, like, you know, smarter guys who actually played baseball, some of them who have Ivy League degrees, like Chris Young in Texas, who are now taking over kind of the baseball operations stuff. I think we've kind of swung the complete opposite direction, where people have almost become to completely worship the numbers and completely ignore the feel side of the game. And, you know, that scene in Moneyball where the scouts are kind of railing on Billy Bean, played by Brad Pitt. Like, I think we're basically at the opposite end of that spectrum now, where, you know, the analysts on a lot of these teams now are maybe 4-1, outnumbering the scouts. Like, yeah. It's basically the opposite dynamic. And I think that the teams that are going to be the most successful, this is true of Andrew Friedman, I think, in Los Angeles with the Dodgers, he's able to look at the numbers, see what the numbers, you know, either confirm or don't confirm about maybe any hunches he had, and then kind of look at that and make a human decision and communicate with people. And, you know, the Red Sox in particular have cited the Dodgers as this, like, role model franchise for what they want to become. But I think the thing that they have failed to understand is to be able to find that balance between the numbers and also learning how to deal with people. That's ultimately what makes a team most successful. And, you know, when the Red Sox won that string of World Series under Theo Epstein, you know, even him in Chicago, he knew how to balance the interaction between the numbers and the people that he worked with.
June Lee joining us on 95.7 The Game, contributing writer for Yahoo Sports. Just wrote a great piece about the Boston Red Sox and Rafael Devers. He's also written for ESPN, The New York Times, Washington Post, Bleacher Report. You can read his stuff at a variety of places. Let me, the one word that Breslow used a lot, I noticed during his press conference, was alignment. They felt like Devers wasn't aligned with what they were or where they wanted to go. Can you give us a little more insight on kind of the person? Because, you know, now out here we're getting some different kind of stories about him, but was he a huge fan favorite? Did he want to be the face of the franchise? And then this stuff happened in the off season leading into spring training. I know he doesn't like to do a lot of media, but give us a little thumbnail on who this guy is as a person.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely was a fan favorite. I think that he wasn't necessarily the most attention seeking, which can be, you know, if you're paying a team as the face of the franchise, you maybe as an organization want him to be more out there. He didn't really want to do that kind of stuff. His nickname among the fan base was Raffy Two Scoops because he was the type of guy who talked about how much he loved eating ice cream. And, you know, maybe that is not the best thing for his long-term like conditioning health moving forward, but, you know, he always kind of came to the ballpark with a smile on his face, you know, and was never really distracted. Like, he always kept kind of his focus on baseball. You know, I remember a couple of years ago, I think this was back in 2021, he came into the clubhouse and said, and I interviewed him, and he said that he just had a second kid. And a bunch of people after that interview went up and said, I didn't even know he had one kid, let alone two kids. Like, he's the type of guy who kind of keeps himself, and is very private, and is mostly focused on playing baseball. So, you know, it's, I think that, like, as long as he feels like he's being valued, I don't really think that he's never really caused problems until this kind of whole communication system came out.
No, it's interesting, June, looking at the Red Sox, who've obviously won four World Series in this millennium, and the Giants, who've won three. You know, I feel like before this trade happened, you know, the Giants were kind of on the periphery, and the Red Sox were maybe not the most stable organization in recent years, but they're seen as certainly one of the blue bloods. Do you feel like that this kind of, I don't know, especially with Posey at the helm, this kind of move is one that could thrust the Giants back into that grouping? You know, maybe not up there with the Yankees, but certainly with a team like Boston. And do you feel like that with how they've handled things, especially concerning their star players, that they're actually the team that teams might be looking at like the Giants were for the last few years?
Yeah, I mean, I think that one thing that is underrated about going out and signing a star player, even if it doesn't end up working out, is that people take you seriously as a team that wants to win. And I think that that's something that the Red Sox have kind of underestimated in regards to how the rest of baseball perceives them, whether it's players or agents or executives. You know, I think that there's been this reputation that the team is acting like a small market team while being in a big market. And I think that what Posey has done, I'm not sure whether or not it's all going to work. And I do think that he's made some sharp moves, and we'll see how all this turns out. But the fact that he is willing to spend out there, and the ownership has kind of given him license to spend, it does kind of reshape the reputation that the organization had developed under Farhan Zaidi. And, you know, like, again, I don't know if it's going to work long term, but I think finding the balance between all of these things is important, because it's not just about like the decisions you make as an organization towards like, you know, building a roster and developing prospects and all that stuff. Like, it matters how you kind of engage with the rest of the industry and how willing people are to work with you. And also, like, you know, the fact that people are coming to me to complain about the Boston Red Sox as a reporter, knowing that it might get out in public, like, it just kind of speaks to, I think, the level of like distrust is maybe a little strong from people coming approaching the Red Sox in the industry, but just a level of skepticism that people have towards them now.
Yeah, June, and we're joined by June Lee, contributing writer for Yahoo. Last one for me is, I did kind of want to ask you about the psyche of a Red Sox fan. Put this one, the Devers departure, in the class of Betts and Bogarts. Like, is it even worse? Is it an extension of what they already felt was a bad situation? What's a Red Sox fan thinking today?
I think that it is worse because of everything that's already happened. Like, if this was in a vacuum, I don't think that is the worst thing, because he's as good as Raffy is, like, he's not Mookie Betts. And I think the whole Mookie Betts situation has been haunting this organization. I mean, people are talking about if this is the new curse of the Bambino or Austin now, because of how much the organization has kind of fallen apart in regards to just not prioritizing, not knowing how to deal with star players. Like, I think you as an organization, when you're unable to just, like, deal and manage with the egos of star players, it lowers your ceiling as an organization. The Red Sox had to deal with, you know, the big egos of Manny Ramirez and David Ortiz constantly, all the time, in one way or the other, during the kind of the prime of their championship run in the 2000s. But they were willing to deal with that because it raised the ceiling of the team, you know? And, like, ultimately, I think a lot of Raffy's behavior was instigated by the fact that the organization didn't communicate. And I think that, you know, a lot of the leaks, I think, coming out of the front office have been about, you know, Raffy's demeanor. At the same time, like, his demeanor kind of changed dramatically as a result of the lack of communication. So is this a chicken or the egg situation? Like, maybe Raffy, I don't think Raffy handled the situation as maturely as he could have. At the same time, he was not the one who started the situation in the first place.
Yeah. Hey, June, great stuff. Thank you so much for joining us. A lot of terrific insight for Giants fans out here, and really good piece in Yahoo Sports on the Red Sox and Devers.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thanks, that's June. June Lee. Wrote a good story, real good story at Yahoo Sports. He's also written for ESPN, New York Times, Washington Post, Bleacher Report. So the kid can write. The kid can write.
No, he's good. And he was also a big part of, when he was at ESPN, a lot of the Baseball Tonight and Sunday Night Baseball coverage. But it's funny, like, listening to him describe the two places of these franchises. No one would ever tell you the Boston Red Sox aren't historic. The Giants obviously are with their roots back to New York. But it does feel like with this singular trade, they've sort of swapped places. Like, the Boston Red Sox have become the team that people generally associate the Giants with being under Farhan Zaidi as big market, unwilling to spend, or not being able to get someone to take your money.
Right.
Meanwhile, the Red Sox basically gave the Giants this massive albatross contract, which they've never had in recent memory, the biggest one that they've acquired. And the Giants are now the team that is seen as rewarding their stars.
Yeah.
Or being willing to go and risk it for a star.
Yeah. All righty, there's the sounder. And now is your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Caitlin Clark tomorrow. And the Indiana Fever are in town. You have to answer the following question. All right, the following question, because we told you to be listening between 12 and 12:30. First person to call the contest line with this answer, and I see some people on there already, you've been disqualified because the question has not been asked. So you can stay on hold. I'm not going to ask the question for another minute.
What's the question, Steiny?
The question is, and I'm going to let Carter Chickering make the decision on who's the first.
You can stop asking that
with
question.
The answer is,
Staley.
What did June Lee say was Rafael Devers' nickname?
He spoke fast.
In
but
Boston.
This one I thought was pretty clear.
Yeah, I did too. 415-523-4652. That's 415-523-4652. First person with a right answer to Rafael Devers' nickname in Boston, according to June Lee, you will get two tickets to tomorrow night's Valkyries Fever game. And if you want to just buy tickets, go to Valkyries.com. Caitlin Clark in the house tomorrow at Chase Center.
No, I can't wait. Oh, by the way, the nickname is not on Baseball Reference. I know Goo was talking about, was it Rafi Big Stick?
Big Stick, yeah.
Yeah, Big Stick. It's not, that's not the answer.
No, this is going to be the nickname that June Lee said fans had given him because apparently he's a big fan of this food. And there'll be no jokes. No jokes about this.
See, well, we can have some fun in a minute when we get our winner. And that's huge, by the way. So I'm looking forward. I'll be in the house tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I got to see Caitlin Clark. That's actually, I've never seen her play live before. If there was an athlete in 2025 that you, Matt Steinmetz, have not seen play live, who's on that list?
Oh, man.
I know. I'm not going to ask you to name one. But to me, Caitlin Clark would be on that list. That's one of the main reasons I want to be in the house tomorrow.
Well, I think we should throw that out, too.
All right.
If you could see any athlete in the next year, who would it be?
Curry.
Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy.
See an athlete.
Well, he's going to be load managed this year, so there's going to be less chances.
What about
Devers?
No, it
hadn't
would
seen
be
him play live until last night.
You know what it would be? Who's the best soccer player on the planet right now? Mbappe?
Mbappe?
The most famous is probably Messi, right? People always want to go see Messi.
Yamal. Yamal's up there.
I might want to see whoever's considered the greatest soccer player playing right now.
Now, why would you want to see that?
Because I feel I've gone through the three major sports, and Caitlin Clark would be somebody, however you took her, so I didn't.
Well, I'm just saying, like, who's on your list? It doesn't have to be the greatest. You know, I think.
Well, you know who's on the list probably right now is Wembanyama. Wembanyama is probably on my list. I have not seen him in person.
Has he played a game at Chase Center? I know he had the preseason game where he blocked Wiggins' shot from like the lane.
That's a good question.
But last year he was unavailable because of the thrombosis.
See, I guess I'm a little different. If you ask me about football, who would I want to see in football right now?
Purdy?
No. Give me Shador Sanders, quarterback in Cleveland.
Okay.
Seriously.
I need you to explain this one.
Because it's more about, you know, I mean, who's the best? Hey, Steiner, you can see Josh Allen. I can see him on TV. You know what I mean? I'm sure he's great.
So because he's not going to get to play, you want to see Shador Sanders?
No, because there's an unknown there. There's a curiosity that I have that I don't have for even Lamar Jackson or Mahomes. Like, those guys are great. So I'd say Shador Sanders. You know what?
You've seen him play on TV.
Here's one.
Colorado.
Cooper Flagg in the NBA.
I'm looking forward to seeing him for sure.
There's one for sure.
Yeah, Cooper Flagg, probably a great tennis player. I would love to see Alcaraz play live.
By the way, if there's one thing I when you came in the day after the French Open, I really didn't know how historic that match was.
Did you go to the lab?
No.
You watched some tape?
No, but I just heard two other people say it was one of the best matches of all time.
It was unbelievable. Oh, people are chiming in on 341 is saying Carita.
And Wemby has played, by the way, at Chase Center. So
in a regular season game?
In a regular season game, it was November 24th, 2023.
So that would have been his rookie season.
His 16th career game.
Yeah. Wow.
What'd he do?
7 blocks.
Actually. He scored 8 field goals. He was, where are we looking here? I don't know where. He played 35 minutes.
How's that contest coming?
Yeah, Carter,
we're getting the information.
On?
We okay, actually
going on back
do we
there?
Have a winner?
We do have a winner. There was actually an 0 for 2, 0 for 3 stretch there.
Oh,
where,
no.
The answer was not.
I told guessed. You guys to listen.
Casey Schmidt.
I told you guys to listen. You know, what was he thinking?
He was talking kind of fast.
He was, but. We have
what? Well, I was confused as to why this was the nickname. Can we throw it out there? Like, we're just getting his information. The winner has been taken, correct?
Bobby, congratulations, Bobby.
Okay.
Bobby's going to be going to the Valkyries Indiana Fever because he was the first guy to know that.
We're done.
Yeah, we're done.
No, don't call. Quit calling.
The nickname, go ahead.
It's Two Scoops. Now, I would have originally thought that someone's nickname, Two Scoops, who plays third base, is because they have a really good glove. You could scoop the ball. However, it's apparently because, and I hate to point out the obvious, but he said he loves ice cream. He's plump.
When I heard Two Scoops, I thought, uh-oh, does that mean he bobbles everything?
Oh, really?
How many bobbles every ground ball?
Oh, I thought it was actually kind of a glowing part of his defensive game.
Like, he's so good he can, you know, field two at once.
Well, look, there's been good, sizable infielders before. Obviously, Pablo Sandoval is on line one. One of my favorite shortstops was Juan Uribe. Who was the guy? Oh, Johnny Peralta was kind of hefty.
Played for the Johnny, Tigers and the Johnny.
Yanni. Peralta. There was a Jonathan last night, by the way, on the Guardians who spelled his name with an H. So I always wonder if that means Jonathan or if it's actually just Jonathan, you know?
Yeah, not sure. Not sure.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Thanks, Steve.
Steve Kerr.
He's making headlines.
Yes, he is. He's he's making headlines. All right. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. We're talking Rafael Devers, his debut last night. Game 2 of the 3-game series tonight at Oracle. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. From the ballpark to wine country, summer's better when your car's ready to roll. Valvoline Instant Oil Change gets you in and out in about 15 minutes. No appointment needed. For locations and coupons, visit Bay Area Oil Change.
I am not Michael Strahan.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. It was at a family reunion in Texas, deep in the heart of Texas.
Sounds like the theme song for a family reunion. What is this? Like How I Met Your Mother?
Well,
Pasta.
The first song I thought it was, I know it's not. Welcome Back, Cotter, it felt like.
I just haven't met you yet.
Yeah, it's Sam Smith.
Met you yet.
What's his name? Ray LaMonte.
Michael Bublé?
Bublé.
Oh, Bublé.
Bublé?
I saw him with the Foo Fighters a couple years ago, actually. He was really good.
Tell you, another good song of Bublé's is, now I forget it. The one that the Warriors used to play. Oh, I'm Feeling Good. I'm Feeling Good.
Oh, that is a good song.
It's a good tune. It's an absolutely good tune. Hey, they got some, first of all, coming up in about 20 minutes, 12:55, John Smoltz, Hall of Fame right-handed pitcher and current lead analyst at Fox. John Smoltz is going to join us. And we, hey, sometimes they work this way. We're going to ask a little bit about golf to start out. He's at the American Century Championship. The guy can golf. And the first question I'm going to ask him is how many rounds a year he plays. I'll bet you it's over 200.
All right, well, we don't have him for a long time.
No,
so what
don't.
I need you to do is not commandeer this interview to talk to him about golf.
Okay. So we're already on a short leash because the boss says, would you want Smoltz? I'm like, of course we'd want Smoltz. And he goes, well, he's doing media today because he's playing in the American Century Championship in a couple weeks in Tahoe. So make sure you ask him about golf.
You have 6.5 minutes.
Yeah, 6.5 minutes. Okay. Smoltz, he better be ready. He somebody get him up right now in the pen because he better come in warm.
Oh, he's going to come in high and tight.
By the way, there's some food out in the kitchen right now, unexpectedly, and I'm not having any.
You proud of that?
Yeah.
I'm sitting here with two pieces of fried chicken.
Look, it's
you're going to tell me you can't have any?
No, it's pretty simple, Evan. You know, I got a big stretch coming up. Thank you. I'm going back east for a buddy's birthday. Then my daughter's getting married. And I figured, you know what? If ever there's a time to try to drop a quick six, it would be right now.
I
may see some gonna see a lot of old friends from back east.
I don't want to be coming
back east all sloppy and disheveled and all those kind of things. So I didn't eat any of the food out there.
Well, you're making me feel bad. But there's a couple of things. You told me this yesterday. I got to drop a quick six.
Yeah.
So you're just going to starve yourself?
No.
You made it sound like. I think I'm just taking a break from food. But
what I'll do is I'm going to go long periods of time without eating food. For example, I had a breakfast sandwich today.
You do know Ramadan passed a while back.
I had a breakfast sandwich today. After work, I'm going to go golf, so I'll walk the course. And now, actually, on a night like tonight, I'll try to, get home and go right to bed. And then I'll have breakfast tomorrow, and then that would be a 24-hour fast. That seems to work for me. But anyway, I saw the macaroni and cheese out there. Did you have any of that?
Two scoops.
So,
Two scoops.
You know what I had the other day?
Like my guy Rafi. Huh, what?
So my daughter's home from college, and of course she works. We put her to work. She's working at a restaurant in Oakland called Homeroom.
Oh, that place is nice.
Yeah.
That place is real nice.
You've been there?
Yeah. It's
good,
so good.
Good spot. And let me tell you what's happening with my daughter. She's starting to come around. So Friday night, she texts me, and she's like, I'm coming home from work in about 10 or 15 minutes. I'm bringing you something. She brought me a milkshake.
And you threw it away.
I had half of it. I didn't really, I didn't make this decision till about 2 days ago. And then the next day, she comes home and she brought me some macaroni cheese with, get this, pulled pork and macaroni cheese. Wow. That was pretty good, Evan.
It doesn't sound like you're trying to drop a quick six.
No, this was about 4 or 5 days ago.
Oh, you haven't eaten since then?
I told you I had a breakfast sandwich today.
Well, that's not a 24-hour fast.
Okay. Sunday.
Yeah.
All right. Sunday, Monday morning, I woke up, had a breakfast sandwich, didn't eat the rest of the day. Woke up Tuesday, had a breakfast sandwich, very light dinner yesterday.
That's
okay. And then today, I'm gonna try to do a little fasting after I get off work.
All right, before we get back into Devers,
yeah.
I have to admit something, and I don't know if anybody else is like this too. I love hot sauce. Hot sauce doesn't love me. That's the problem I run into with all these great foods, is that I love spicy food, but my stomach doesn't. So if I need to take a quick break in about 10 minutes here, just know that that's what's going down.
Wait, what's spicy?
Well, I don't know where we catered this food from, and shout out Tiana, one of our lovely coworkers, for doing this, but they brought food in, and there's, I don't know if it's like a homemade hot sauce, but it seems a little balsamic, like it's got vinegar-based. It's really, really good, but I got to be careful how many bites I eat in a row because I got a weak tongue.
Makes sense. We got it from Little Yellow Skillet. What?
I'm sorry. Your Little Skillet.
Your Little Skillet. Your Little Skillet. Okay.
Where did yellow come from?
I don't know.
Your yellow. Well, people do have yellow skillets. Yeah. It's the Little Skillet.
All right. Here's one thing I want to clear up, or at least allow Pedro Martinez to clear up, is this idea of what kind of teammate Rafael Devers is. Or was at least in Boston. And this is what Pedro Martinez, the flame-throwing former righty, said. And he's somebody that's pretty familiar with the Boston organization and Devers himself. Take a listen.
I was shocked, just like everybody else. I was shocked because if you try to sell to me, knowing Rafi Devers, that Rafi is a bad teammate or he's not a team player, you're lying. You're going to tell me he's a bad influence in the clubhouse? He's not. Does he want to play every single day? Yes, that's probably why he was mad. Well, the thing got mishandled from the get-go. And I think if I'm Jimmy and I'm Grandy and we have an ex-teammate or a teammate that's not doing things like they should be doing, we pull him aside, all three of us, and we convince him to come into the things that we want to do together. This should have been in the hands of baseball people, not front office people, not leaking it to the media, not having a back and forth between the media and Alex and Sam Kennedy and Breslow. So I think it should have been handled by baseball people, Pedroia, Big Papi.
Pedro Martinez, talking about Devers and what happened there.
I still, like, when I listen to that, it still makes me think about Posey. And the reason is, he said, this shouldn't have been in the hands of front office people. It should have been in the hands of baseball people. And I do agree with that. But that's the difference. Like, seriously, that he just described it. That's the difference between Posey and Breslow. Posey's still a baseball person. He just works in the front office. He's still a baseball guy. He just has the title of president of baseball operations. And I feel like it's really hard to find one. Maybe it's because he hasn't had an experience, and he's got also, I think, a great staff to kind of help him through maybe some of the, I don't know, the day-to-day stuff. But at the end of things, Steiny, he knows how to win, and he's been the catcher of three World Series teams, and in his mind, there's a specific way to go about turning around your franchise. And so far, he hasn't skipped the beat. Like, well, I mean, we'll figure out how the Devers deal ages. You know, Domus has obviously got to hit better. And we'll see how Chapman ages as well. But so far, he's coming up aces.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, I'm always reminded of, you know, when you acquire a player or when you extend a player. And as for the, you know, how the contract, Chapman, Adamas, and Devers, how their contracts are going to play out. They're all under contract for a long period of time. And, you know, the one story I'll always remember from back in the day when Chris Mullen was the general manager of the Warriors, and they were in a spot where they didn't have a lot of credibility, and they signed Troy Murphy and Mike Dunleavy to contract extensions. And Mullen was asked, and this was actually involved Gary Radnich. Radnich asked him, well, what happens if it doesn't work out with these two guys? And Mullen said, well, then I'll trade them. And they were there for a few more years, and then they ended up trading those two guys for what ended up being Steven Jackson and Al Harrington. But I kind of feel the same way. I mean, if things start to go south, then you address it when you need to address it. But for now, I think the Giants, we can all agree, have their best hitting lineup since when? You tell me. 888-957-9570 is the number. Coming up on the other side, we got John Smoltz, Hall of Fame right-hander, current lead Fox analyst. We're going to get into the Devers trade with John Smoltz, and that segment brought to you by Honda of Vallejo.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.